Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 26, 2014. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, please call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. Now, folks, if you use the Internet, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. And if you're one of the 15% of the people out there that I have heard still do not use the Internet, you can simply call me at 620-878-4682 and for any kind of question that you might have about our guests or anything else. Just keep it civil. All right, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, and not necessarily our guest's will, but please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, when asked if the United States will get through this decade without another massive attack on the homeland, former Vice President Dick Cheney replied he thinks something even worse than the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks is coming. I doubt it, Cheney said. I think there will be another attack, and the next time I think it will be far deadlier than the last one. You could just imagine what it would happen if somebody could smuggle a nuclear device and put it in a shipping container and drive it down the beltway outside of Washington, D.C. Is that on our horizon? Well, it could possibly be. You know, as easy it is to get things across the border, and with these new, terrorists or footer Islamists are, they could very well smuggle like that, something like that across the border, drive it to New York City or Washington, D.C. and set it off. But I don't know. Tonight we're going to talk with author S.C. Sherman. S.C. grew up on a farm in rural Iowa. He graduated from the University of Iowa with a degree in communication studies. He still lives in Hawkeye County and enjoys family life with his wife, Amy, and four children, Molly, Cole, Brock, and Sarah. He has written across several areas, including spiritual theories. Excuse me, spiritual thrillers, I'm tongue-tied tonight, folks, historical fiction, trilogy based on a true story, and a young adult fantasy. His first novel, Leaving Southfields, won Best Christian Historical of 2007. So he loves larger-than-life stories and that keep you guessing and move your soul. Anyway, his newest title is called Killshot, and he is a weekly politics and culture columnist for Daily Surge. I went over there and read a couple of things that he had, and then he has a pretty interesting take on things. Anyway, welcome, SC. Are you there with me?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was sent your thing from a publicist that said that you talk about this current thing that's going on, but I want to learn a little more about you. First off, it sounds like you're a Christian. Are you a Christian?
I am. You betcha.
Boy, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
Looking at your site, it sounds like you might be kind of what you self-describe as a gun nut.
I do get called that now and then as well. yeah, it's not as good as being called a Christian, but I'm pretty proud of the Second Amendment, and I do believe in those rights. So I get called a gun nut quite a bit.
Well, listen, brother, you can relax on this program. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are very friendly to people that believe in keeping the rights to bear arms. And so you got some not as well as Christians out there listening. You also have some very patriotic people out there listening. So you're in a good territory to be at. So we'll just relax and talk about these things, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right. First off, so then you first mentioned that. So then you believe in the right to keep and bear arms. Do you believe this government is trying to take this away from us?
Well, there's sure a lot of them in there that do want to take it away. It's just a shift that they've been bringing it on slowly. Every time there's a mass shooting, they try to create a new law, create a new system, a new layer of bureaucracy. Demonize the whole idea of weapons and self-defense and so forth. And there's a growing segment of our society, of course, that's never been around guns. They didn't grow up on the country. It's just, a lot, it used to be sort of common and just everyday, part of life. But now it's getting a little more, not everybody has that kind of upbringing. Kind of been encouraged, though, that all the pushback against the laws has shown a pretty strong increase in people that have grown up in the cities going out and doing some practicing and getting safe feelings around weapons. And it's kind of coming back our way. They may not want to admit it, but I think it is.
Well, amen. I hope so. I think we saw a little bit of the gun nut, saying that jokingly, mentality when we had the standoff with the Bureau of Land Management up there in Nevada, which I think was a good thing. I think the intercession that we did with our boys with that farmer up there was a good thing and not a bad thing. Any thought?
Yeah, sure was. Yeah, that was a crazy, that was really one of the first times that we really saw an armed militia come to the aid of a person they didn't really know at all. They just felt, moved upon to go out there and take their weapons, and they were going to stand shoulder to shoulder with this guy. And, you can argue whatever about Mr. Bundy, but I found that pretty intriguing. There were so many people willing to just drop everything in their life and go out there and risk their life, actually. The military, or the Bureau of Land Management looked like they were pretty well decked out in military, paraphernalia. It wouldn't have been a good thing if somebody started shooting, and I was very happy to see it end peacefully, and with them backing down, that was interesting.
Well, absolutely, I'm glad that they backed down. Amen. I did not want to see any shot fired. But on the other hand, they really was not left with much of a choice. They were down in a valley situation, and they were completely surrounded by patriots with rifles that were called snipers, and they were ready to open fire on them had they fired a shot. I think it would have been a slaughter, but not slaughter of patriots.
Yeah, you're probably right, but in either way, it would have been awful, and I'm really glad it did end peacefully, but it did show that there's a level of, I don't know what you'd call it, if not anxiety, but there's a level of rising in this country of people that are just tired of taking what the bureaucracy of the government just dishes out, and that's a shift, I think, probably in a good way, because our government has grown so bloated that it's hard to recognize anymore.
Do you think Americans have now had it, starting to have enough, so to speak, all the big government and everything shoved down our throat? Do you think we're starting to just get enough?
I think so. I mean, there just is a limit. I do believe the American spirit is still founded upon freedom, a Christian nation, I believe. And it's just not the same as, other places, Europe and so forth. And there's a large segment of our population that's just not going to want to submit to that level of government intrusion that is required by countries that like that. And there's just a lot of us that aren't going to take it. I mean, even you're starting to see it in some of the little more stronger states. I heard Rick Perry actually just ordered militia to start heading to the border, and we're going to shut this border down whether the feds will do it or not. And I just think that's that's good. I mean, that's what the original Patriots, the founders, you know, all these guys had a spirit like that in them, and it still resides in a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody's calling for, you know, I don't want to see anybody take arms up against the government at all, any way, shape, or form. But what I want to see is the Americans to stand back up. I feel like we too long in this country have had the attitude of we've got it right. When we go to church, we go to work, things are okay. And this other element has snuck in and tried to put us under, well, a socialist government.
Yeah, it really is. It's a brand of socialism. It sure is. And it's definitely grown, and probably it's still growing right now, but I believe we're seeing a resistance to it rise up. People that were once asleep and were going about their daily life, just like you said. And just most people kind of on the side that would stand up, really don't want to fight the government. They want to be left alone, raise their kids, go to church, and live a good life in America. That's what it's all about. Just we're not really in this place to put up a fight. We don't really want to, but especially you realize, wow, if somebody doesn't stand up, this is gone.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, I live in Kansas, and, you know, I'm part of the what they call the flyover country, so to speak, like we mean nothing. but let me say this real quick. A lot of these things that we're seeing, are pushed on us by a media that's out of touch with the largest portions of America. It's media that comes from either the East Coast or the West Coast. And, you know, it really isn't the mentality of the central part of the United States. What do you think?
I agree. Being in Iowa, I joke about being in flyover country all the time. It's just, it is true. There's a different attitude on the coasts, and it takes a while, but it does permeate through all throughout the country. But people in the Midwest just don't really go with a lot of that stuff that's out there, and they just don't understand it. You can see it when the politicians are running for office. They all start showing up out here, and they're just doing the best they can to eat a turkey leg at the state fair, but you can tell they're out of water.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Going back to this, now I made this comment about Dick Cheney, what he said about the next thing that could happen. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Cheney's got to be one of the most derided guys around at this point. You know, he's a pariah to the other side. They love to hate him, and they love to discount what he says and everything, but he, you know, as scary as it is, he could have hit that right on the head. You mentioned it earlier, there's people coming across the border at will, and they're not all Mexicans coming here to, you know, to work. There's people coming across that are Hezbollah, Hamas, any terrorist group you want coming across wearing a sombrero. They got a backpack, and it's not full of pot, it's full of nuclear weapons, it's still all kinds of things that are much more dangerous than that. So we don't have a clue what's coming across at this point and why he's right in his prediction. That would be a great way to inflict a lot of damage upon our country. And, you know, I can't see why the terrorists wouldn't have thought of that as a great idea. And I don't know how we're supposed to stop it either. There really is not a lot of ways to stop that. Maybe it's through the, you know, all the different CIA type channels you'd hear about it, but that's about it.
Right. Well, let's go with this. Addressing the border situation for a moment, you know, the government that we have right now, or this administration, we're just plain saying Obama, has allowed and pushed this forward as part of his doctrine called the Solovetsky Doctrine in order to break America, to change it. I guess he did what he said he was going to do. He said he wanted to fundamentally change America. Well, he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah,
But the point is with these massive groups of children and people coming across the border, they're also bringing in all kinds of diseases that they're not being able to check. They've detected some tuberculosis and some different kinds of flu and just all kinds of things, and they're not being really screened as they're being put back out to the public. So this is a major crisis.
It really is, and they really have promoted it. You can blame them all day long because they're the ones that basically came out and said, we're not going to enforce these laws. And that is just a red light, a green light to the people in South America all across there. Just get yourself here and get your kids across the border before it's too late, you know, before we do shut it down, which eventually we're going to have to. There's no way to have a good immigration policy with it wide open. All of it's meaningless. So, but these guys bringing these kids and just dropping them off, it's just awful. I mean, these kids are sick. They're left behind. They don't speak any English. So, of course, we're going to take them in. We're a compassionate country, but we're promoting this. We're the ones that cause these people to come and drop their kid here. I mean, that is just, it's just sick that we're actually promoting that. We're breaking up families all across the hemisphere.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, now that this rush has started towards our border, I don't really see what the solution is. I know we need to shut down our border, and it would be a good thing if the Patriots would do it, but I don't see it within the guts of any politician, you know what I'm saying? Although, you know, you can say that the Republican side, well, some of the Republicans are just as like the rest. Let's just get that straight. Mm-hmm. But right now, at least the House is being controlled by the Republicans. But the point is, they can't do anything because the Senate won't allow them. The president's running amok, and we don't have another check and balance. So how do we stop this president?
There's not much to do to stop him. I mean, the militia is probably the best idea I've heard in a while. He's doing what he wants, which is bringing more people in and, you know, running the show the way he wants, which does bring down the whole system, really. I mean, we just can't handle these kids. Numbers, the sicknesses, no one's taking care of them. It hits everything. Education, health care, food, sickness, gosh, we've got everything with these kids. And the numbers are large. They're getting larger all the time.
Right. It's a catastrophe. It's a complete catastrophe, and it's going to cause a problem all across the board. And there's really no way to stop it unless this president just decides to be a, abide by the law all of a sudden, which I don't see that happening. And we have, 2 years and something left of this guy? So the prayer is, what do you think about the 2014 elections? Don't you think we ought to really turn out for that?
Yeah, I'd sure like to see that Senate flip. I think it's actually got a pretty good chance of it flipping, but you just never know. You get half of those guys, like you said, they're the Democrat light or rhinos or, it's hard to say if any of them will have a backbone to stick up for anything, but it'd be better than what we got, so it'd be nice to see it flip over. It really hamstring the president. He'd have nothing left but his executive orders, which they took a pretty good hit today from the Supreme Court. So it's hard to say, but this president's definitely got no stomach for enforcing those laws.
Yeah. Well, I just got a little bit of I've got a chat thing up here, and a guy chatted me. He said, really, we need to stop talking about this problem federal-wise and state issues, and it's right. The state of Texas themselves go down there and secure that border if they had the will, couldn't they?
I think that's what we're starting to see. I mean, I don't think they have, it's going to cost a lot of money and a lot of effort. It's technically a federal problem, securing our border of the nation. But I think those border states, they've just had enough, and they're going to have to do something on their own. I can't wait 2 more years, I don't think.
What is that? I think we have a commercial broke in. Is that Kurt? I don't know what that was. Somebody must have left their computer on and I don't know. But anyway, let's move right along. You never can tell what's going to happen with live radio, I always say. Anyway, it would cost a lot of money for the states to do that, but I believe that this thing with the kids, with bringing all of the food or all the viruses over, possibility all of terrorists coming over and everything, I think the states should intercede wholeheartedly.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to have to. And that maybe is a silver lining to this last flood of kids, because it's really brought the issue back up again, and the state's got to do something. So if the feds won't do it, they're going to have to. It doesn't look like the feds are going to do anything. So the states are going to do something.
Right. Well, all we can do is hope that they do. Do you run a blog or what do you have? We try to get out information about you. And
yeah.
Well,
I write for a couple different websites weekly, DailySurge.com and ClashDaily.com. And I'm a novelist, actually. I've written 4 novels. They're available on Amazon or at stsherman.com. Got a political thriller lately. That's my gun control book. It's pretty fun. I have a historical fiction, have a young adult fantasy, and a spiritual thriller, we're calling it. So, yeah, a bunch of different ones.
Right. What kind of website is that, the Daily Surge? What is that?
It's all pretty much political commentary. Jason Matera is a guy that runs it, and he has several of us that write for him. He writes himself, and we comment on the news of the day and write articles that are entertaining as well, funny stuff, but, politics, mostly politics or societal things to comment on.
Okay, well, as long as it's standing up for the truth, I'm for it. Okay, well, why don't you tell the people how they can find your blog?
I would go to scsherman.com, and you can see what we got there.
scsherman.com. That's scsherman.com. Hey, and folks, wherever you find this program ends up in the radio archives, well, at our site, there will be a link to his website and a way for you can find his newest book, is what's called Kill Shot. And I'm going to have him explain some about that book, Kill Shot, and see where he got some of his ideas for it when we get back from a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be dependent on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click the satellite system.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed. foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that come in looking for food, clothing. It's summertime. They bring their children in so they can get a lunch with their children. So help us. We need your help to feed these people. Because why? Well, we're helping the poorest of the poor. So the the people that we end up preaching to are the poorest of the poor. So they can't support what we're doing. We don't sell anything on radio. Have you ever heard me sell anything? No. So I have nothing to sell. So we exist by your kind donations. So pray about it. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treat us family is the second. Beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's a rule. If we don't have a way to fill the need, then we pray it in. Just like the little girl I was talking about on another program. She walked, I noticed her when we came to the mission church, and she was out back in the fenced area. And I said, boy, you really look like that you're sad. And she said, yeah, I am, and I need to talk to you. Well, I took her in the office, and we prayed over, and she found out she's only like 18, but didn't look that. She had no ID. No agency in Wichita would help her get a ticket because she had no ID. We can't prove who you are, so we're not going to get you a ticket. Well, she needed to get home to her daddy, which was in Ohio. She had jumped a train with some boy she met online in California. And, you know, she was even all beat up. Her side was all black and blue from riding on the top of this train, bouncing up and down. And her boyfriend jumped off in New Mexico. And she didn't say why she didn't get off with him. But when the train stopped in Kansas, she got off. And one of the people that come to the Mission Church found her at McDonald's just crying her eyes out with nothing. Brought her to us. So we prayed about it. And I didn't have the money at the time. We spend down to every nickel in our pocket helping the poor. And so I put it out online, and we prayed it in, and we got her a ticket, and we had her on a bus the next day. Got a call, and she's home with Daddy. Amen. But these are the kind of things that we do. So without set guidelines, we can do those things. Agencies just turned her away. And today, you know, it's summertime, and man, in the summertime, it's like somebody turns off the water spigot and all the donations just crawl to a drip. And we need your help because we get a lot of people who are still coming in, more and more so, like I said, because it is summer. So we need your help just to stay open. So why do the agencies tell their employees about the Fathers of the Mission Church? Because when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many, and we are, folks, all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Or like I said before, if you don't listen, if you're listening on satellite or another means, you can call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back with author S.C. Sherman. He is the author of the book Killshot. Are you there with me?
You gotcha.
Okay, well, tell us about this book, Killshot. What's this book about?
Well, I was, as a Second Amendment guy, I found myself having a conversation fairly often. You know, what would have been different in that, you know, Columbine school if there had been somebody there with a weapon sooner? Or how about that theater or the Newtown school? Just what would have happened if there had been a teacher or somebody to carry a weapon? Would it have changed the day? Would it have saved a bunch of lives? Or would it just make no difference and been too much violence? And I believe that it would have changed the outcome. You know, all those places had to wait on the 911 response teams, which are really good in our country, but even so, it's 8 minutes a lot of times as an average. 8 minutes is a long time to be under fire with nobody shooting back. And you hate to ever think of yourself in that position, but I wrote a book where a guy finds himself like that, and it's kind of interesting to see what happens. If the political people get involved, the news media gets involved, and they make a big thing out of it. It's pretty fun. It's not like watching the news, though.
Well, let's go with this. You know, I believe, like you believe, it had there been somebody, and if they hadn't been in a gun-free, wow, that's terrible. They were in a gun-free zone, right, and everybody gets shot. Well, yeah. If somebody would have had a gun, you know, they could have stopped this man, just like we saw in a few incidences since then. We've seen shooters start to open up, but yet somebody had a gun and stopped them cold. And so your book would be something that we get out there and put in the hands of people that think the other way, you know, that, well, there shouldn't be any guns. But if we, could your book work like that, to put them in their hands and maybe change
their
mind?
It sure could. There's been a lot of, you know, people read it that aren't really in favor of guns, and they don't actually hate it. They find it intriguing and interesting, and they think, wow, yeah, but, you know, I can see the reason a lot of people are pro-gun now, the fact that I even put the story, it kind of starts out in a church, and the guy, psycho, opened fire there. They always go to the place where it's more, they think there's nobody going to resist them. Because then they, some kind of crazy course, the psychiatrist can figure that out. But they usually want to be, either they kill themselves as soon as they get the police there, or they shoot it out with the police and get themselves killed. Either way, the sooner that's over, the better for the innocent people. And how I feel. And, you know, you got to have somebody that's carrying. I don't think everybody in the country needs to carry a weapon, but we definitely need a percentage of our population that's doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that when we put up a sign that, you know, and people actually put them in front of their houses, you know, we don't own any guns. Whenever you do that, it's like saying, okay, come in. Here I am. You know, I'm the target, you know.
And yeah, I have no idea why you do that. There was a guy in my hometown just recently wrote a big article in the paper, and just bashing anybody that was in favor of guns. And he, you know, basically put his address out there and said he didn't have any guns in his house. And I just thought, well, you guys are crazy to do that. We've got some crime in our city.
What planet do these liberals come from? You know,
I don't know.
I don't get it. I really don't understand it. And, you know, while we were asleep, the media turned liberal, and we got to take America back. We need, and people like you too, brother, we need Christians to start standing up and speaking the truth instead of being silent, instead of allowing politically correctness to overwhelm us. We need to stand up and let our voice be heard, because I believe, brother, that there's still more of us than there are of them. I had on with me Cheryl Chumley from the Washington Post talking about her book, Invasion USA, earlier today, and or not Invasion, but Police State USA, and she agreed with me. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is a lot more of us than we know, and it's time for us to stand up more. I mean, the police state's definitely increasing. Even, you know, every little teeny town in Iowa seems like they're getting a new military vehicle lately. You know, what are they going to do with that thing? You know, we don't have that kind of problem here. So it is a growing thing as far as the police militarizing. I know a lot of cops, and they're good guys, most all of them, you know, that I know, but that's flyover country. Maybe it's different out in the coast. I actually don't. I don't know. But we got to stand up for what America's good for and what's great here and, you know, the freedoms that we have.
You know, look, you know as well as I do that if a police department gets one of these toys, basically the boys are going to want to use it because they want to play with it. And that's a dangerous concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they think, well, we better take this thing out for a spin. You can't just let it sit in the parking garage.
Yeah, well, we got a guy over here on 5th Street that has a warrant for a parking ticket. We better take it over there.
Yeah.
That's funny, but true.
You can take it as far as you want. You can say, well, the guy that writes the gun book is kind of on a list, or a guy that's a Christian, or the guy that's, they can start thinking, well, maybe he's a troublemaker. Maybe we should take the, you know, take a little extra precautions if we go talk to him about something simple, and they just escalate everything with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anyway, listen, brother, I appreciate you being on with me tonight. Tell them where they can find your website again, and I'll let you go.
Yeah, it'd be scsherman.com. Yeah, check it out. That'd be great. And I'll buy a book and be awesome.
Okay, and folks, the book, name of the book is Kill Shot. Check it out. Check out the website. And be blessed, brother. Maybe we'll talk about it again.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks for having me. You bet. Have a good night.
Yeah. Well, folks, you know, this situation with the border is just crazy. There's all kinds of things that could come from this, whether it's the diseases, being invaded. Who's coming across that border? I decided that I wanted to talk about this some more, so I decided to call Frank on. I'm praying he's there. Are you there with me, Frank?
I am.
Yeah, well, you said a couple of comments to me that actually got me on started that I wanted to talk further on this. Why don't you tell us your views about the border and the situation that it is right now?
Well, I think my view is pretty clear that, you know, I mean, anybody can see whether you're for it or against it, you know, whether you think, oh, gosh, we got to let everybody in or whatever, or that we need to slam it shut. It's clear that the federal government is not going to enforce the laws. Obama has written specific executive orders directing the agencies not to enforce the law. So we can scream and we can cry and we can cheer and we can do whatever we want to do. That's their position, like it or not. So we have a problem. And they're not the solution. That's not because I say they're not the solution. It's because they've said they're not the solution. We're not going to enforce the law. They've made it clear. So, okay, so I guess I shouldn't ask you then. I got to come up with another solution. I mean, obviously, right? I mean,
even
a kid knows when you go ask dad, hey, dad, can I do this and that? Dad says, no. They go ask mom.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
They've got enough sense to go ahead. You know, they don't keep asking dad, come on, dad, please, please, please. No, I told you no. And, you know.
Yeah, we got that. My 13-year-old yesterday, my wife and I had him together, and that's what we said. We said your basic philosophy is if mom says no, then you go ask dad and see if he says yes, and if I say no on something, you go ask mom. And he said, well, that's the basics. I didn't know you guys knew it. Yeah, right.
Well, apparently he's got good reason not to know that you knew it, because apparently Americans don't know it. Somehow we forgot that at 17 years old or something, you know, because, look, the feds have already said no. We're not going to do it. So, okay, Who's the other choice? Well, the states are the other choice. Oh, but people say, well, you know, the feds have told the states, listen, this is federal law, immigration is a federal thing, and we're not going to allow you to enforce federal law. All right, so that's another no from the same person. And I say person as the 14th Amendment person.
Yeah, we know.
So, there's always, as they say, more than one way to skin a cat.
Well, let me present this to you. And I think Perry said it, or one of the Texas guys down there said it. But they pointed out that it was going to be hard. It would be hard to do because that most of the border is on private property. Now, it couldn't private property owners that they also said that they were scared to death, couldn't they give Texas the right to do it?
Texas already has the right under certain circumstances. Under normal circumstances, no, they don't. Under special circumstances, they do. And those special circumstances are the enforcement of the police powers of the state. The states have exclusive police powers. The federal government doesn't even have police powers. Now, they use the Commerce Clause to, you know, pretend they have police powers, but they don't. The states have police powers, and you can find that in the preamble of every state constitution. They are there to protect the peace,
okay,
safety, and health of the people.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Here's a scenario. Let's say they send a bunch of Texas National Guard or Texas Rangers, whatever, to the border. And what do they do? I mean, they clearly could catch the people coming across, because as soon as they come across, they're looking for somebody to turn themselves over to anyway. So that doesn't solve the problem. How do they stop them from actually getting on our, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, first of all, I believe that, you know, Rick Perry is... I don't trust Rick Perry, because Rick Perry's got decent rhetoric, but he never does anything, actually. You know, he sounds good. He's like Ronald Reagan. You know, he'll give a great speech and then turn around and stab you in the back with his policies, you know. And the fact of the matter is, this is a health emergency. It is a public health emergency on that border. Everybody knows it. They're not screening these people. They're coming up here with drug-resistant tuberculosis. They're coming up here with all kinds of third-world diseases that Americans, quite frankly, have no immunity to because they haven't been in this country for so long. So the thing is, we are in real danger. It is a public health emergency. The governor of those border states need to declare, and all it takes, and I checked the Arizona. I did not check the Texas code,
okay,
but I did check the Arizona revised statutes, and all it takes is a declaration of a health emergency from the governor. Now, the state is basically under a state of emergency because of a health condition. The governor now has the power to call out the National Guard. Forget the police. See, the police are there to police. They're there to keep the peace in the state, not to deal with these type of emergencies. That's what the National Guard is for.
Right, absolutely.
Know? And he can, and by right and by duty, they can call out the National Guard. Now, you know, I'm not suggesting that they, you know, go down there and just start shooting people on the wall, but the National Guard is way more suited to stop the people from coming over the fence. If they have to go stand on the other side of the fence in Mexico and keep them away from the fence, then that's what they can do. This is an emergency. This is a whole different ball game than regular day-to-day.
Okay, well, let me ask you another question. Where's the border at? I mean, is the border basically the fence, or is it one side of the river or not, or what is the border like?
Wherever they say it is. And I don't know if they built the border right on the they built the fence right on the border. That would be stupid, I think. Because,
yeah, that'd be stupid.
You should put it, you know, a few, you know, maybe 100 yards even in. And just say, look, you know, there's a buffer there, and if we decide to go on the other side of the fence, we're still in the United States. But you're not touching this fence. And
you'd think so, because there's a common buffer that whenever you put a a fence in, you know, like if I go out here and put a fence between me and my neighbor, I have to do it at least, it depends on the city. In Wichita, it's 8 inches back from the property line. So therefore, there would be 8 inches on the other side of the fence that technically would be mine.
Right, and that's to keep a 16-inch buffer in between if they decide to put up a fence. But the thing is, a lot of places will give you the option with agreement from your neighbor to have a common fence, which goes, that's the only fence that goes right down the border. And when you do that, even though you've paid for all of it, your neighbor also has the use of it.
Right,
you know,
right.
But, and if you don't want that, then you just move it back. But the fact is, now, I just touched on something, the cost. Okay, there's a lot of concern about, well, you know, oh, how would the state of Texas pay for this? How would the Arizona pay for that? You know, cost a lot. You got to pay those National Guard guys. You know, I mean, this is going to cost money. Well, you send the feds a bill. This is their fault. This is their failure. They didn't do their duty. As a matter of fact, the states of the union really ought to file treason charges against Barack Obama for what this is going on the border here, but they won't do that. But the thing is, send them a bill, and if they refuse to pay, start withholding, for instance, the federal fuel tax.
Right.
You don't get it. We're gonna keep it until this is paid for. You deadbeat.
Yeah. Well why not?
Hardball with these people.
Here's the point. The federal government, look, we need strong state government because the federal government, well, they're not doing their job. So what are they going to do if you withhold the taxes? What can they do? That's the point. Dynamos start to fall when people quit obeying the laws of the land, meaning the high ups like the president or Congress or local police. You know, the checkpoints for doing something is taken out. And so,
well, and that's why it's important that the states step up, because the federal government is losing all its, not, forget it, it's lost its moral authority long ago, but now it's actually losing any authority because it's saying, we're not going to enforce laws that one man in the White House doesn't agree with. That's not our government. That is anarchy.
Right.
And I don't think anybody really wants that in this country. But if the states won't stand up, that's what's going to happen. We're going to fall into anarchy, and we cannot depend on the federal government any longer. The states are going to have to step up, or we fall into anarchy.
Right.
That's the way I see it anyway. You know, I mean,
well, it's absolutely right. And for the record, you've always been somebody very strong on states' rights. When we brought it up before, you said that you need to start, you know, out small. Start from city council. Mm-hmm. Get people elected to that. Go from city council. Go to the local, you know, elections like, you know, state legislators and so on and so forth.
Right.
That's what we need to do to turn America back.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's always big news when the feds come and kick somebody's door in, but a lot more doors are getting kicked in by your local police, your local sheriffs, your city police. A lot more doors are getting kicked in by them than the feds ever thought about kicking in. So, you know, the whole thing is you need your state government and you know, your cities and your counties count as part of your state government. They are not autonomous, sovereign entities. They are part of the state, which is a sovereign entity. And the thing is, the state affects everybody's life far more than the feds ever did. So why wouldn't you want to get involved and take control of that? You have a lot more, you're going to have a lot more success if you really get to it. And you're going to need a lot less people. I mean, America's got 300 million people. Well, to make a difference, you're going to have to get, you know, at least 10% of those. That's 30 million people. Good
right.
luck with that, you know. I mean, but you go to a state, and a state might have, 10 million people in it. Well, now you
right.
only got to get 1 million people. Well, that sounds like a lot of people, but it's a lot less people than 30 million.
Well, absolutely. And I look at local elections like I look at Wichita. Wichita, Kansas has roughly 380,000 people in it. On a major election, they, you know how many vote, you know, about 35 or 38,000. Now, that's ludicrous, but that's how many vote out of it. So that's the only people, you know what I'm saying? And then you only got to get over 50% of that to change things, you know. And so going up on a state level, it's a little more, but I think it could be done.
You know, and if you've got a reasonable thing, and I'm not encouraging anybody to get stupid or crazy and come up with crackpot ideas that you know, let's do this. Let's just start doing what's right and start saying, look, we're going to elect people that will do this. And if you get in there, it turns out you're a liar like the last guy was, you're out of here. We'll just keep replacing you until we find somebody who will do this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Well, that's a good note to leave it off on. Frank, right. Tell them about your show, when it's on, then I got to go.
Well, noon Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. I do 2 hours on Monday and at night, and sometimes 2 hours on Wednesday at night. And it's basically, you know, whatever I talk about, whatever I want to talk about, and people can call in. We got the 800 number. We've got the chat room at the website, theamericanvoice.com. You can participate in the show from there. You know, so that's it. But there's a lot of good shows on American Voice Radio, like yours.
Yeah, well, thanks. And you can check out the archives at AmericanVoice.com. Well, thanks for being on with me, Frank,
thanks.
And your input on this very important issue. Okay, see you later, Frank. Okay. Folks, again, before I go into the sign-off, it's summertime again. Please pray about supporting the Mission Church. A lot of people think, well, you know, my $5 or $10 or $20 donation won't help. Yes, it will, because donations add up. And, you know, if everybody got in the mindset and thought that way, then the bucket would be empty, you know. And we need your help. And we're not asking for us. We need help to feed and clothe people and, you know, give people a hand up. A lot of these folks that are coming in here, they're looking for jobs and things. They're not just looking for a bottle. They're looking for a job and other things. They want to take care of their families. So pray about it. Pray about support what we do. And another thing I'll mention tonight, I'm looking to out there. I know there's so many book writers and I have people all the time. Well, I'm down to, I've got several publicists that send me things like WorldNet Daily. Their book company sends me things, like they just sent me another book today that Ray Comfort wrote about Einstein and God, that they want me to read and interview him about. But if you got a good book that's, you know, about prophecy or current events or something, send me a link to it. Or if you have a suggestion for a radio guest, send me a link to them, phone number or something, and we'll see about having them on. And if you have any dreams and visions about America, get a hold of me. I want to talk to you about them, and maybe we'll put you on the air or just let me know about them. Anyway, we must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return, because there'll never be peace in the Middle East until he returns. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.